I'm Michael Edward Miller for WUTC. Mental illness affected 1 in 5 Americans within the past year. That's according to the National Institute of Mental Health, a government agency, and President Obama has declared May as Mental Health Awareness Month. Obama says, despite how common it is to experience severe psychological distress, there is still considerable stigma associated with mental health treatment. Today, Rhonda Jax Moore joins us to talk about mental health. She's the program director for the AIM Center in Chattanooga. They're a nonprofit, and they help adults with mental illnesses achieve productive and meaningful lives. They've been active for more than 25 years, and they have an uncommon approach, the clubhouse model. We're going to talk about that. Rhonda, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
First off, I want to talk about that number that I cited a moment ago, 1 in 5. I was really surprised to learn mental illness is that common, but you're someone who's a bit closer to the issues than I would be. How surprising is that number to you, 1 in 5?
It's not surprising to me at all. I think when people think mental illness, they have a picture that is schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, which used to be called manic depressive disorder. And they really, their stereotype picture is not something they may have experienced in their life. So mental illness is rare. They don't know anybody with it. Mental illness is actually very common, the 1 in 5 each year, because it encompasses things that you do know, either yourself or someone who has had an episode maybe of depression or anxiety or someone with obsessive compulsive disorder or someone with an addiction problem. So it's really not that uncommon if you think about broadening your definition of mental illness.
Obama was talking about the stigma associated with simply seeking help. Why do you think that exists if mental illness is so common?
I think it's left over from our society is evolving. I always use the example of when I was growing up, it was a stigma for someone who was pregnant to be seen in public or to say the word pregnant.
Really?
Yes. My grandmother probably died having never uttered that word.
Wow.
Someone was always expecting or in the family way. So really, if, you know, that, and that wasn't that long ago. I'm 51, so we're talking 30, 40 years ago that it was a stigma to even, you know, not be pregnant, but to admit it because we didn't like to think where that came from. Cancer used to be. Nobody wanted to admit they had cancer because it scared us. And so I think things that scare us, and so mental illness is something that's not understood. It's gotten better. We still have a stigma. But it has gotten better in my lifetime. And I want in my lifetime, I've still got another 15, 20 years of working and making a difference. I want to see it decreased even more.
And if it's 1 in 5 people, then, you know, if you personally aren't affected by it, then you're going to know somebody who is.
Yes. It's going to be your sister, your brother, your mom, your college roommate, your best friend.
And you mentioned depression. What are some of the common ones that do affect people that aren't, you know, in a huge dramatic Hollywood kind of way, but are just the more everyday kind of things?
Well, like I said, depression, major depression. Everybody gets the blues now and then, but major depression is a true illness, has diagnosable symptoms, has treatments, medical and therapy. So, you know, recognizing that in my lifetime, I'd like to see us stop calling it mental illness, and it is another physical illness. It is an illness where it is your brain that is affected. It is chemicals in your brain. It is the way your brain works, just like heart disease and cancer and diabetes.
And so the AIM Center, you've been serving people in Chattanooga for more than 25 years now, and you have this clubhouse approach. What is that? How is that different from other places that are helping people with mental illness?
What makes us different is our approach to persons with mental illness being a normal part of society, that they are a part of our community. They're not separate. They're not other. Just like we're trying to reduce the stigma of mental illness, we are trying to include people who do have mental illness as a normal part of society. And the way we do that is they're not clients. They're not consumers. They're not patients. They're members of the clubhouse. And it's a place for them to come and belong and have a purpose and interact and learn how to contribute to their community.
And so there's socialization that's going on there with your members. There's work that's happening. How are they involved in the work? What are they doing on a day-to-day basis when they're there?
Well, Clubhouse is really cool in that it's like your typical nonprofit in that it doesn't have enough staff, but it's atypical in that we don't have enough staff on purpose.
On purpose.
On purpose. Because we don't want staff to be able to do all that it takes to run the clubhouse. Because if staff can do all that, then we can't look at somebody and say, I need you to be here. Without you, I can't get this done. And that's what we do with our members. Without members showing up every day, we couldn't get all our data entry done, all our facilities care done, all the garbage taken out, all the computer stuff done, all the cooking done, all the cleaning done for lunch for the people. So we are understaffed for a reason, and it's because we need our members. And being needed and being able to contribute to the running of the clubhouse, that's where the recovery happens, because you have a purpose.
And this isn't a treatment center. You don't have doctors there prescribing medications or anything like that.
No, we do not. Now, we are not anti-medication.
It's just that's not your purpose.
No, that's just not our purpose. We are a part of their recovery in that, but we are not the medical-based part.
And how much does it cost your members to take advantage of these services?
There's no cost to our members. We are a 10 care provider. So a lot of our members, we are able to be reimbursed by 10 care for the services that we provide, because it is a service. While it's not treatment in the form of counseling or medication, participating and receiving services and us helping them to recover is reimbursable. But for about a third of our members, they're not 10 care. We're not reimbursed, and we rely on the generosity of the community and fundraising and foundations to help us supplement. So there's no cost to the person. We get the funding from other places.
If you're just tuning in, I'm speaking with Rhonda Jax Moore, Program Director at the AIM Center. That's AIM, Achievement, Independence, and Motivation. How do you specifically help your members achieve those things?
We sit down with each member as they come in to look at what their goals are. What's important to them? Again, treating them like normal, just like if I have a life plan. If I decide to go back to school, they sit down with me and decide, what are your goals? What classes do you need to take? If I go into the gym, they want to know, what do you want to do? Do you want to lose weight? Do you want to bulk up? Do you want whatever? We meet with our members. What do you want to do? And then we look at how they can meet those goals.
The clubhouse model, there are over 300 of them around the world, but how common are they here in the tri-state area, the Southeast?
We're it. Actually, we are the only licensed and accredited clubhouse in the state of Tennessee. There are none in Alabama. There are none in Mississippi. Georgia has one, but it is for, it's kind of a hybrid or a seeing if it works model for people with traumatic brain injury. So it's not the traditional. It's not like the other 300. So there really isn't one in Georgia. We're kind of it or in this area anyway. You have to go to North Carolina or South Carolina or Missouri to get to the closest other clubhouses.
How did you get started 25 years ago?
We got started when a group of concerned parents who had children who were becoming young adults and noticed that their children who had significant mental illness did not have a place that fit once they became an adult. Their peers were going off to school, to college, or starting their first jobs, and their children didn't have that purpose. That gave them a purpose in life, and their children didn't have it. They researched what were some ways and some programs that might help their children and found Clubhouse. And truly through grassroots effort of researching Clubhouse, deciding that was the program that this community needed, and getting the startup funds to start with that one house on Macaulay Avenue and a staff of two, we have grown for 25 years to, like I said, about 100 people a day.
What are the requirements for somebody to become a member at the AIM Center?
The requirements are they must be an adult, so 18 and over, and have a severe mental illness, which is a mental illness that has made a significant impact on their life. So such as anxiety, major depression, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia. But that's pretty much it. And then be at a place in their recovery where they are able to manage themselves and be there alone and be stable enough that they're not a threat to themselves or others and able to partake in the program.
Where can people go for more information? A website, phone number?
We have a website, aimcenterinc.org, or our phone number is 624-4800. We're Googleable. Look us up if you can't remember what I've said. It's AIM Center, Chattanooga, Clubhouse Model. Any of those keywords will get you to us and get you more information.
Thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you for having me.